Weihnachten kommt immer näher und ich habe keine Ahnung, was ich schenken soll. Tante Hedwig will sicher wieder was Handgemachtes, meine Mutter was Persönliches.
Ach komm, Schatz. Schenk doch einfach, worüber sich wirklich jeder freut. Glück!
Mit den Losen und Lotterien von Lotto Bayern. Das Jahreslos der Glücksspirale. Geschenkkarten mit Rubbel oder Aufreißlosen und die Bayern-Millionen. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
My name is Jackson Picard. Have you ever looked out the window of your apartment complex, house, or the beach, and wondered to yourself, what lurks in the deep? Well, I'm here to tell you somewhat. To get pleasantries out of the way, I'm a professional diver who enjoys diving in the deepest parts of lakes, rivers, or even the shallower parts of the ocean. Free diving areas that typically go down to 90 meters. At least, I used to. This dive could have been done with a submersible. I'm sure you'll understand why later. When kids ask divers what their scariest or creepiest stories of the deep are, the divers aren't permitted by the government to tell what they saw. Many of my diver buddies easily agreed that they never wanted to share such stories. I, on the other hand, think everyone deserves to know what is truly out there. I can't tell you the location of where my encounter happened, but I can tell you when. It was the middle of September, I believe the 16th of 2016. This happened to me 3 years ago, and the experience is still burnt into my memories. I honestly can't even believe I even survived. I won't hold back from this any longer, but please bear with me. This story is hard to tell, and often leaves me traumatized just by remembering it. It all happened so fast. I was sent an email by my government employers to go out to an unmarked location. It was nearly 1,000 miles away from any major shipping lanes, and even further from the nearest landmass. I was told to not bring anyone with me on the dive, but when they told me the depth, I could scarcely believe it. 12,000 feet. The deepest dive I've ever done. And they were certain I could do it alone. When I told them I would need a submersible and at least one buddy with me, they actually cut me a break and allowed me to take one person, but no one else. The pay was huge, by the way. This next job would pay enough for me to live comfortably for the rest of my life. It was easily in the 8 figures, mind you. I was confused because such a pay is astronomical for one dive, and they considered it an appreciation fee. My job was to go down and investigate something. They never told me the details of this something, but they just said to dive straight down and we should be there by 3 p.m. So I called my buddy and told him the job. He couldn't believe it either, but he said he'd rig the boat and submersible in 3 days. He's a rather wealthy professional diver, my trainer in fact, who I've been friends with since college. His name is Walt Gray. It's not a native name because his parents just wanted him to be unique. I found it a cool name personally. When the day came to do the deed, I packed up all my gear, some food to last about 3 days for me and my partner, and a few distress beacons just to be safe. I hopped into my truck after putting everything in their appropriate places and took the long 3-hour trip to the meeting point at the coast where the boat was. While driving down the narrow, bending roads, I couldn't help but feel nervous. I kept contemplating why my employers wanted me to venture into such uncharted territory alone to start with. But even so, at least I wouldn't be going alone after all. It was right at 6 a.m. when I arrived on scene with my friend, Walsh. It was still somewhat dark out and quiet, which is how me and my friend liked it. We said our hellos and didn't waste time packing everything into the boat for the trip, locking our doors and such. We had a brief talk about how strange this job was, but it didn't stop us as we have done some crazy things before together. By the time 6:30 rolled around, we were already 15 minutes out. We knew it would take about 2 days at most to complete the survey mission, since the location was 18 hours out. We had our GPS logged to the exact coordinates my employers gave me. We had a good trip there, filled with chit-chatting, drinking, sharing old stories, and even watching shows every now and then. We had enough gas for 5 days, so that wasn't an issue. For those of you wondering, we took turns piloting the boat every 3 hours or so, and we spent minimal time parked asleep between travel time. The boat we were using could easily do 85 miles per hour and was very efficient on fuel. I never told my body watch, I brought a satellite phone just to be doubly sure we'd be safe. Turns out, we'd need it for sure. The next day, we arrived at the diving location during the middle of the afternoon. Things didn't go according to plan time-wise, but we were still mostly on track. We readied the diving equipment ASAP, along with some food, the emergency beacons, and satellite phone inside the submersible. It was big enough for two people, with an open dome for observational purposes, but it was also very fast with bright lights, and one that can be remote controlled to look around with a camera attached. We anchored to the bottom and hopped into the submersible and began our descent into the blue void below. 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet. It took 20 minutes to reach this level. Outside the dome, we saw strange fish, species we never saw before, and it was getting dark, so we took the time to document them as new species and even snapped photographs of them. Discovering new species easily netted a few thousand extra bucks in my work field, so we were happy to make extra money on the dive. 4,000 feet, 7,500 feet, 8,000 feet. At this point, we no longer saw the creatures from before, and the only other light beside those on our submersible were those of bioluminescent origins. I never understood how those creatures could survive down here in the dark depths of the ocean. It was downright creepy, the way they glided ever so softly around the dome before vanishing into the blackness above us. We continued our descent. 8,500 feet, 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet. "We're here," I said, as the bottom came into view. We were traveling slowly at this point to avoid crashing into the seafloor. "All right," said Walsh. "Let's see what we can find down here, Jack," he murmured, somewhat excitedly. However, his excitement quickly left him when we noticed a submarine of military origin. Our mouths dropped open, not just in shock, but disappointment. As I said, "Is this why they sent us down here? To investigate some old World War II submarine?" I said in an annoyed tone. Walsh, however, wasn't so amused. "Let's go around the other side, see what we can find," he said sheepishly, to which I agreed with an annoyed expression on my face. We moved cautiously around to the other side, keeping our lights on the submarine. "Man, it's huge, isn't it?" I said, as Walsh responded in a teasful tone. "What, never saw a military submarine before? You're such a novice." As I annoyingly humoured his comment, "Let's report back." Walsh stopped abruptly, his face turning pale. "What?" I said, to which he simply pointed to the submarine. I looked at where he was pointing, and my mouth dropped again. But this time, not out of annoyance, but fear. We saw giant claw marks on the side of the 300-foot-long submarine. They were massive. One claw mark was easily 60 feet wide, and there were 3 deep impressions across the sides of the submersible.
What the hell? What on earth could do such damage?
I said, startled at what we were seeing.
It's gotta be fake. The scale of the creature that did this would have to be monstrous in proportion. I think that was just put here to scare us.
Walsh responded back, stuttering. That's when we heard it. A loud, piercing shriek. But it was also guttural and loud enough to shake the ground beneath our submersible. This startled and terrified us out of our skin. But once it stopped, we recomposed ourselves.
That must be what we were sent to investigate, I said in terror, barely able to stutter the words calmly.
Yes, it must be, Walt said, horrified. But that's when we noticed something. The ocean floor wasn't at its deepest. We turned more to the right and turned on our long-range sonar, to which it illuminated a very deep drop-off that went down 11 miles. A very massive trench, bigger and deeper than even the Mariner Trench. We were both mortified at what we saw, and the sound came from down there. But that wasn't all. We set our lights on high beam, and in the distance, we saw something we will never forget. A massive creature, easily 500 meters long. Its face was crocodile-shaped, with 4 rows of long, sharp, and jagged teeth that glistened in the light of our submersible.
Quick, we need to get out of here, now!
I said loudly, to which Walsh responded with a full throttle up and out of the region. I quickly turned off the camera as we rose, but I could swear I heard the thing in hot pursuit. And sure enough, it overtook us and locked its massive jaws around the submersible. It began shaking us around and crushing the glass. Our submersible was armed with bright flares, so we fired off a set hurriedly as the bright light stunned the creature and actually caused it pain, enough to release us. Its guttural shrieks were terrifying and horrifying, like a very low, vibrating ice sheet dragging along the seafloor. It was only then that we were released from certain death. But I needed to see exactly what this thing was. I swung the still working remote control light around, and there it was. The creature had a long body, massive and bulky. It was as pale as snow and covered in rigid scales and spikes. Its tail was massive, twice as long as the creature's body, which made up most of its incredible size. The tail was barbed with massive spikes and tendrils. Tendrils it no doubt used to drag ships down into the abyss. The scariest part, however, was the eyes. It had so many. All massive and pitch black, with massive white pupils. They looked as if they were staring right into my soul. And as the creature left my sight, it let out the most horrifying, guttural roar I have ever heard. A roar that still causes me to wake screaming at night, even to this day. I don't remember much after that. It was all a blur. We were able to make it out by the skin of our teeth. The last thing I remember was Walsh dragging me out of the water and leaving behind the damaged submersible as it sunk to the bottom, along with all evidence we had even seen such a creature. I will never forget that monster. It still haunts my memory, even now. I can honestly say that there are things in the ocean that should never be discovered. To all of you aspiring divers out there, never go out to sea. Never go diving in the deep. Never expose yourself to the horrors of the deep.